Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I wish we had a soundbite to that stadium. Steve, you were there at Amalie after Nikita Kucherov got his 100th assist, only the fifth player in NHL history to get it. I gotta believe it was unbelievable with the Kuch. Like, that place had to be ringing, right?
Oh, it was. That was awesome. That's got to be one of the better regular season moments in Lightning history.
Oh, totally.
To be at home. I mean, there's a few... There's some
winning two Stanley Cup or three.
But I'm saying regular season, like
regular season for sure.
The moments I remember the most, like this one tonight, well, because it was cool. I mean, the fifth player ever to hit 100 assists, and only three had done it before this season. McDavid's done it as well.
McDavid did it a night earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, Kuch couldn't get it on Monday night and be the fourth, but he was the fifth player ever to do it.
It's okay,
but it's one of those. You know, I've been producing games for 10 years now. Lightning, you know, and there's a regular season. I mean, postseason's a whole different animal. So, I mean, those are different. But, you know, the regular season kind of runs together a little bit and, you know, you see everything. But there's a few moments that stand out. Like the one I'll always remember is when Stamkos fought Marchand from Boston.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
And, you know, he just finally said, I had enough and went after him. And it was a quick fight, whatever. But, the crowd... It was just one of the most electric moments ever in that building for a regular season game. You know, and tonight was, I mean, you know, you were waiting all night Monday night for it. It didn't happen. And then, you know, you go through this game and he gets a goal. So he got a point in the first period.
Yeah.
But didn't get the assist. And you could see they were trying to get him, much like they were trying to get Austin Matthews a goal on Toronto's side. And I mean, what do you have, like 58 shots or something tonight, I think?
Something crazy. Like he rang the bell a few times.
Oh, yeah, hit the post. I mean, yeah, Lilleberg blocked an open net. I mean, it was, you know, he couldn't literally buy one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the crowd just waiting for it. And then you had a power play. They didn't score on it, you know, and you're just like, you're almost starting to think, like, it's not going to happen.
Well, and when you're so focused on it, I mean, the thing is like it was like, especially on the power play, but other times too, it was almost as if they were counting, okay, that's two passes, we got to shoot. You know, like Nikita
it was like, wait a minute.
The other guy touched it.
Here's the third pass. We got to get back to Kuch before we shoot.
That's right, back to Kuch. Right.
It so did feel like that.
Yeah, they were really kind of like, you know, trying to get him in a sort of a rotation of touching the puck every time in their zone so that, you know, once they touched it one more time, the next guy was going to fire away.
Mm-hmm.
And Stamkos had a really good look, you know, at a one timer or two, and then you know he kind of missed one, to be honest with you, and yep. I think you could see the disappointment on Kuch's face, but no, it was the patented, you know, kind of fake the shot, little pass inside the point. I mean, if you had to pick what it would look like, right, that was going to be the assist right there because they've done that so many times this year.
The only other one was Hedman to Kuch, cross-ice to Stamkos.
To Stamkos, right, in like, a one-timer.
But Hedman, they sat out tonight for the final game. Didn't mean anything, so rest him. He's played a lot of minutes this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think fourth most in the NHL.
Yeah.
And especially since Sergachev went down, so get him some rest. So he hadn't played since Monday. Now we know they're not going to play till Sunday at 12:30 will be game one. So not on Saturday. So you're going to get him almost a full week of rest between games, which is good. Cirelli, too. They sat him out on Monday night. But, yeah that would have been the only – I mean, Stamkos making, you know, from a cross-ice pass through about three defenders to Stamkos on the one-timer.
For the one-timer, yeah.
That would have been the perfect setup. But,
yeah,
pointing that bumper spot works just as well, too.
Yeah, and Kuch is so good at hiding that. But the moment was electric and – You know, after the game, it was interesting because after the game, John Cooper, who's pretty good about sort of giving context to things, for him, he said, and I thought this was, I don't know that I would disagree. He included the playoffs. He included, he goes, It's like when you win the Stanley Cup, he goes, there's this feeling of relief, but it's also just overwhelming joy. And he goes, and after those two cups, he goes, this moment was right there. You know what I mean? Like, because you're watching history, you know what I mean? When you think about it, only four of the people on the planet, including the guy that just did it the night before, have ever had 100 assists. Now, it's also, you know, mind-numbing ridiculous to think that Gretzky did it 11 times. I mean, it's just like, I know he was the great one, but geez, could he leave anything on the bone for no, he was that good. But then, you know, how many guys walked on the moon, right? Like this was how rare this was. And you've seen it coming all season long. And then the other thing that I thought was cool, and I know everybody does it in every arena for their guy when he's in the race, but the chance of MVP that just mm-hmm. kind of organically broke out, all of that somehow managed to bring a smile to Kucherov's face. And
that may have been the most surprising thing of the whole thing.
I know, like you could see joy, and he's one that hides his emotions and really other than disgust or frustration, you see that very often. But he really doesn't, you know, smile very much or you know, get real animated on the bench. He did all of that tonight. Like it was, and I'm sure he was relieved. You could feel the pressure as the game went on. They were late in the second period, I think, when it finally happened. So there was no guarantee that it would. And, you know, just kind of watching him and in the interaction of his teammates. I mean, Mikhail Sergachev came out onto the bench.
Yep.
To congratulate him, you know, and I always watch the teammates because I think that's really telling, you know, like they've watched this historic season and they've mm-hmm. probably known for a while that was probably going to happen. And there certainly was, you know, drama and suspense about when and how and who and all that. But in the moment, right, that bench erupted like they had won a Stanley Cup. It was animated. They were pumping their fists. They wanted to go out there and embrace the guy. Just you know, to see that kind of reaction, it tells me that not only is he a great player, but he's a great teammate. Like those guys mm-hmm. really have a respect for him beyond anything they could probably describe. And the other thing is, you know, he's been a good player and a great player for a very long time. This guy's an all-star. I think he could and probably maybe should win the MVP. I haven't watched everybody else this yep. season. But
and if he does, that's the second time he's won it.
But it's the second time. And so now, you know, you say, okay, well, you know, a two-time MVP, a two-time Stanley Cup champion, he's going to the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. With any longevity at all, and probably even without it. But yeah, it was special. And there's not many moments in sports that kind of give you the goosebumps like that. And for those that were there, it had to be really cool because you're witnessing history. Like you just don't see it every day. And you don't see it with the guy that you know that you're used to watching and everything. And like I said, the emotion that Kucherov showed, which was probably even more rare than the 100 assists, was kind of what made it. You know, he kind of let down that veneer a little bit, and certainly he, you know, relief was something he was feeling too. But this guy, you know, as talented as he is, the one constant everybody says, Steve, is that if you saw him in the offseason, if you saw how hard he works, if you saw the things he works on, none of this would be a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, that's the whole thing is, you know, he had a whole offseason this year.
Right, right.
You know, they had the short postseason last season.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we know he was a week after the season ended, he was back on the ice working.
Yeah.
All summer long, 5-6 days a week. And he came out a much better player than he's been, and he's a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
Like watching what he does, and you hear every player, and they've said this for years, nobody works harder than him.
Yeah.
Nobody spends more time perfecting their craft than he does.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that. You know, Nikita Kucherov doesn't get bored with the boring stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the great ones do.
And he works on things that he needs to get better at. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people go out there and, you know, if you're a three-point shooter in basketball, you're out there shooting three-pointers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Kucherov does. Like, he forces himself to be better at things that maybe he's not as good at. And, yeah, those guys see the work. That's the thing. You see the work, and then now you get the reward. And that's what sport is. You know, that's what the truly, you know, the Kobe Bryants and the Michael Jordans and the guys that are so driven.
Yep.
Not, they're already great, right? You're in the National Hockey League. You're an all-star, an MVP, all of that. But what makes them, you know, push themselves to be the best that there is, you know, and certainly the very best they can be? I love that part of sport. I think the more you study those guys, you know, you understand just how rare it is, you know, that. And Kucherov has that. He has that streak in him that where, like, you know, he's going to fight for every ounce that he can get out. And he's disappointed if he doesn't, you know, make the big pass or the right play or score the goal. You know, like he's mad at himself. But man, it was cool. It was historic. And I wish I'd have been in that building, because, you know, TV can only do so much. But that place sounded like they had won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm. And for a game that meant nothing and a crowd that was pretty subdued beyond that. Like,
yeah.
You know, now, it kind of had the feel of a preseason game going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it meant nothing to either team.
And same they were
with,
up
same with Monday.
6-1 and they wound up, you know, winning it, what, 6-3 or 6-4.
They gave up three goals in the last like 6 minutes.
Yeah. And
two of them wrong. With the extra skater on.
Right. We were wrong we talked about the last two games of Monday, Wednesday, that I really thought that Andrei Vasilevskiy would play the final game. It's because he wouldn't want to have that many days off, especially if it was a Sunday, which it is at 12:30 against Florida. But then you take a step back and you go, you know, whether they sat him down or he sat himself down, it's the smart play in a sense, because, you know, he's played plenty of hockey. Yeah, you want to be sharp. Maybe that's a lot of days off. But the biggest thing is, I don't know that you can afford to put him out there and he gets nicked up in the least a bit wet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. This game meant zero except to Nikita Kucherov. And I've always said this, like, about preseason in football. When you get to that last preseason game, you're counting down the number of snaps those starters are going to play, because if you play them one more snap, right, you get through maybe the first period or second period. It used to be the guys would sometimes play into the third. But there's really no point in it, because the minute you pull them off the field, you know what? We made it to the starting line. You know, we're going to start the season with our guys. And there's got to be a little bit of that. Like, you know, let's not push this too far. Anything can happen. They are playing hockey out here. And we don't want the guy to get the least bit nicked up. And so whether he sat himself down or they had to sit on him, I don't know. But I can understand why they did it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you got your opponent, you got your time, you got your place, and here we go. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk more about the matchups and the playoffs and things like that. I do think it helps that you have this little feel, and it's not a big win that meant much, but you had a good night where, you know, you scored 6 goals and you kind of got a little feeling, a positive vibe after losing 4 out of 5 once you clinched. And there's reasons for that, obviously, we've talked about, but I don't think it hurts to have that last feeling of winning, right?
It can't hurt. I don't know if they take much out of this game.
It may not mean anything. I know.
I mean, Toronto was
they sat guys.
I don't say not true. They did sit several guys. I don't say they weren't trying, but no one was really
going
all out to block shots.
No, not tonight.
There wasn't much hitting except for the one cross checked, and then Dumba went after.
There was a little bit of a fight, yeah. It was just a good skate spoiled, basically. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why it felt like a preseason game. I mean, it was, you know, both teams were kind of like, hey, we just don't want anyone getting hurt.
That was it.
Like, we're trying to get Matthews a goal. We're trying to get Cooch an assist.
You're trying to get Cooch an assist, and we'll try to stop those things. Yeah. But, yeah, just don't give them a freebie, you know. Yeah.
But now the fun really begins. And the Lightning, if nothing else, they get an extra day or, you know, maybe
16 hours,
you know, instead of playing – 5 o'clock on Saturday. They're playing 12:30 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
A short flight, easy commute back and forth.
Easy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a familiar opponent.
Right.
You know, I mean, they'd played the Maple Leafs the last 2 years in the opening round. Well, now this is the third time you're playing the Panthers in four years. in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you've won the first two battles of Florida.
Yep.
But this is a deeper, better Florida team than those two.
Mm-hmm.
They will really forecheck you hard.
Right.
You know, I mean, they can turn it. I mean, you know, they can turn it on. Like, this is the, you know, even though it took the last day for them to pass Boston, and maybe Boston tanked that last day, they had 8 shots in the first 2 periods in their last game.
Right.
You know, but Florida is probably the deepest team in the division. I think the best roster in the division, top to bottom.
They got superstars everywhere, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their back end still is a little, I don't think, very deep. But their forward line is. And then the question is, you know, how will the goalies play?
Yeah.
How will Bobrovsky play?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's going to be the big key. I mean, you've got, you know, Vasilevskiy against Bobrovsky. And you know, we'll see how, like I said, I think, if you were worried about the way the Lightning were playing down the stretch, this will get their attention really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you have to do is, you know, they know these teams very well.
Yeah.
But this will get your attention quick, because this will be more physical than a Boston or a Toronto series.
Yeah, and they're so explosive. You'll get, if you're not ready to play, you'll get blasted by these guys.
And they did get blasted earlier this year by the Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give up 9 goals at Amalie Arena.
Yeah, they'll hang 7-8 goals on you without even thinking about it.
And don't think the Lightning won't remember that.
Right. And so we'll see if they indeed can flip the switch. I think the one advantage to having a number of players, not as many as you used to have, obviously, is guys that have won cups, is that they know what you have to do. They know the path, and whether they can execute that with all the new faces and stuff, who knows. But this is not a team that's not battle tested. You know, they're not going to panic in situations. They're, you know, not going to get down on themselves if they were to lose game one, you know, and they're not going to get too high if they win game one. It's just, they know the road, and, you know, they'll learn from each time they go out there. I always am intrigued by, you have game one, you kind of know what to expect, but then the game happens. And then I think coaching kind of helps, you know, when you get to these spots, you know, to watch to see what, if any, adjustments teams make.
John Cooper's record, and I haven't looked at it recently, but I know the first 5-6 years in the playoffs, like his game two record was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, figure out what they're doing game one, and then we make adjustments in game two.
And we counter it, yeah.
Yeah. It's been, you know, I have to go back and look at series and think about it for a minute, but like early in his career, it was tremendous.
Yeah, this is when a guy behind the bench means a lot, you know. And the other thing that happens too is, like, and I wonder about this with the Lightning is you know, so much they rely and they're so good on the power play that you just don't get those calls in the postseason. I know that officials say that, you know, penalty is a penalty, but they really they don't want to determine the game, and because of that, I think they let things go. And you,
I think they let more some physical stuff go, but I also think players are more cautious not to take the dumb.
They don't want to hurt their team with penalty minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true too.
I think your attention to detail gets greater in the playoffs,
right? But
you know what's riding on it.
There's a bigger premium though on, you have to win 5-on-5 hockey. You know what I mean? Like that, you got to be better than their 5.
And that's been a struggle for the Lightning this year.
And it has. It's not, they've thrived, and I mean thrived, on special teams.
Mm-hmm. Penalty kill's been fantastic.
Both sides, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think the other thing is, and we won't know this, the Lightning are off today. They'll practice again Friday, but we still may. What's the status of Tyler Mott and Luke Glendening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
You know, Luke Glendening this year has taken 200 more defensive zone faceoffs than Nick Paul.
Wow.
Who's your next, you know, kind of go-to guy in the defensive zone faceoffs? Like that's how much you rely on him. The players just voted him in the players' poll the 4th best faceoff guy in the NHL.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's why you brought – and then, you know, he and Mott together on the penalty kill have been fantastic, and Mott's been great this year too.
Mm-hmm.
I think – I mean, Mott's listed as day-to-day. He hasn't played in about a week. You kind of think when they announced day-to-day a week ago, but he hasn't played yet, it's kind of, it might be, you know, if it was a playoff game, you could go today, but these games don't mean anything, so why are we bothering?
Right.
And so your hope is Tyler Motte's available come game one. What we don't know is the status of Luke Glendening. And I think that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is when they need to win a faceoff, that's who's going out there, period.
Yeah.
You know, and to lose that guy off your team, it throws a lot of things off. But, you know, that's what happens in hockey is injury. So we'll see. I mean, hopefully he's available game one, but. You know, and then, you know, Cirelli and Hagel missed practice on Tuesday for body maintenance. Cirelli didn't play Wednesday. Hagel did. I tend to think it's probably with Cirelli, probably a little nicked up, and, you know, a playoff game could have gone, but he's a little nicked up. The game doesn't mean anything. Don't play him. I mean, the Lightning only dressed 17 skaters on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Because they sat Hedman as well, as we talked about.
Yeah, they were short-staffed for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, health is a big – this Lightning team is not that deep.
No.
You know,
and so, they've got older players. I mean, let's be honest. You know, you worry about a guy like Hedman, who I don't think anybody's completely healthy right now. But for the guys that have played so much hockey in their careers
– Yep. That's why I was glad to see them sit Hedman on Wednesday.
Yeah. He needs the rest. And then now he doesn't get any. And you wonder, you know, what the playoff series will do to those guys. Maybe they'll start to show some age. Maybe they won't. You know, maybe their experience will take over. But
I mean, really, I mean, I know everyone says the Lightning's an old team. They're not.
No, just the few core guys they have left are.
Hedman and Stamkos are in their early 33, 34. Cooch just turned 30. Everybody else is a lot younger. Like,
Point.
I think Vasilevsky's 28, 29.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, they've been around a lot and they've won so much that you think of them as older than they actually are.
Right.
But they're not really an old team.
Yeah.
Age-wise.
No, we're so used to Stamkos and Hedman. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two that really stand out.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, no, the rest of the guys are kind of in their prime. So looking forward to it. And we'll be here to bring it to you at very early in the morning after their play. Although, hey, thank gosh, Sunday afternoon.
Sunday won't be bad, no.
Yeah. Happy about that.
Got to have your two TVs, though, for Rays and for...
Yeah, well, I got Lighting three.
At the same time. So, yeah, you're good.
Hoping there's something else on that I can watch. But, yeah, speaking of the Rays, man, you know, it's a mystery to me why one specific part of their team, the bullpen, and you don't say that about all of them down there, but as a collective group, has been the biggest letdown this year. And now you're starting to get the same guys pop up, you know, in key situations that you were counting on being big parts of why you win. And Pete Fairbanks now did it again, or didn't do it again, as the case may be. What was sad is, like, this team... typical of most Rays teams, but now with new faces, man, they grind it out. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about how, you know, entering the game, Yandy Diaz was batting, you know, like 180 something or whatever, and Randy Arozarena is well below 200. So your two top all-stars are not carrying the water at all. But then you have all these new guys that, even though they've only been here, this is their first season, they play like the Rays players have always played. They fight you until the last out, and it happened again. You know, this team was down 3-2 to the Angels with two outs in the eighth inning, and somehow, you know, Isak Paredes gets a single, and then again, it was Ahmad Rosario who, you know, crushes one and gives them the lead, you know, with a two-run go-ahead homer. So you go to the ninth, and you're like, what's all set up? Here comes Pete Fairbanks. Uh-oh, here comes Pete Fairbanks, you know? And I love Pete Fairbanks in this sense. First of all, his stuff is crazy good. But if he can't command it, it really doesn't matter. And that's been his problem. For whatever reason, you know, he's not been able to throw the baseball where he wants to, right? It's not picks. It's not pitch selection. It's not anything really. The stuff is still there. It's just location, whether he misses in the zone or mostly walking guys and whatnot. But I'll tell you this: he has no trouble opening a vein after the game, man. If you talk to him, you don't have to tell him he was bad. He'll tell you how bad he was.
Oh, he owns it.
He owns it, but that doesn't help you, you know, on the mound the next time. But, you know, they were typically of Pete, you know, they were talking to him and saying, well, you know, was it pitch selection? Was it command, location, what? And he was just like, no, I generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I think it was an all-encompassing suck. There's a T-shirt in there somewhere. Remember when Joe Madden used to have Embrace the Suck or something like that? But yeah, it and he's right. Like, it's hard to pinpoint. Like, I would say in general, it's command. But it's sort of inexplicable because he's been that guy. They need him to be that guy. And other than Jason Adam, who's been terrific, I think, for the most part, they just don't have, you know, they don't have that lockdown closer. And for that matter, the bullpen has mostly been not good with, especially with the bases on balls. But the team itself, right, scrappy again, you know, down 3-2, two outs, you know, in the eight, like, and you produce a couple of runs from guys that weren't even on this club a year ago, but they've kind of integrated into the Rays way. So you recognize who this team is because it's who they've always been, fights you to the end, but then it's just they're not getting the help in the bullpen, which pitching has in general been their strength, pitching and defense. And now to see it the way it is, and they still, you know, even though Yandy, I think, had a knock and Randy had an RBI, so that's helpful, right? But neither of those guys are really blistering the baseball yet. So you're waiting for them. There's a lot that's going to happen, mm-hmm. I think, to this team that will make them better, make them whole again, you know, in the next several weeks maybe. Maybe sooner than that with Josh Lowe or you know, some of the guys coming back. But for now, you know, you love the fight. It's just they're not getting the bullpen help that they need.
Well, Les asked the mailbag question.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to send your mailbag questions in on X, mm-hmm. at Sports Day TV or at NFL Stroud, or you can email Rick at rstroud@tampabay.com. Says, Rick, what is most concerning to you after 18 games? Yandy hitting 198, Randy hitting 169, or the fact the bullpen has the worst ERA in baseball, or is it something else?
Well, he didn't give me the D, which would be all of the above, but I would say the bullpen because I don't, you know, I think Diaz is a good hitter. He's been a good hitter. I think he'll hit again. I think Randy will too. I don't know what's going on with those guys. Sometimes when you get off to a bad start, you press, you know. In Randy's case, when he's not going well, the swing gets a little longer, right? He starts trying to pull balls. When you start seeing him hitting things to right field and letting the ball travel a little bit longer, just being quick, then he'll get out of it, especially if he organizes his strike zone, if he's not swinging at bad pitches. Yandy's going to be young. I'm not at the point where I'm ready to say that the AL batting champion can't hit. You know, like, I know he can. If you've seen him do it before, and he's going to work, right? He's going to get himself out of whatever slow start he's into. I don't get the bullpen. I don't know what's going on down there because it's not just one guy. You know, there's a chance that obviously Fairbanks has cost them probably, you could argue, two games, right? And, you know, the one in Colorado and this one last night. But it's not like, you know, the cavalry's coming. Like, these are your guys, right? So you chose these guys. These are the ones that you really expected to play at a certain level, and I don't think it was hyperbolic to say they were the strength of your team. I think they probably were, but they're not playing that way. And it's across the board for the most part. Like I said, there's some guys going better now, but the bases on balls, you know, the lack of command, like that's, and I don't know if some of the newer guys, you know, is Maton or whatever his name is he going to be a guy that's going to straighten himself out and be consistent. Like, there are some new arms down there too. But I think it's the bullpen since nobody thought that this team had the best three or four starters in the American League by far. right? You were hoping that you could get by with some of those guys until they get some guys back, maybe the second half of the season. But the starting pitching has not been a problem, you know, not to the extent that I thought it was going to be. So you can't have this bullpen let you down this way, you know, and all the good teams, whether it's you're talking about the Orioles, Yankees off to a good start, like you got to have guys that can close games, you know, or a guy and hopefully two or three. And I think I thought these guys had two or three, maybe even four that could pitch, you know, the ninth inning if they needed them to. And right now I think the only guy I trust down there might be Adam, but that is just so, it's just not the Rays way, right? It's just not what they're about. They're about strike throwing. They're about getting ahead of guys. And so maybe it's correctable because I think Snyder is one of the best pitching coaches I've ever seen. But, man, that's a concern. You know, you have to have it. You can't, you know, you grind out wins like that and you take leads in the ninth inning. You got to be able to close them out. And right now they're just really scuffling trying to find a way to do that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, well, if you're tired of hockey, which you shouldn't be because we're going into the postseason, if you haven't had enough baseball, which you shouldn't because there's about 5.5 months left, we've got NFL football. We're 1 week away, if you can believe that, from the NFL draft. Bum, 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 bum. And all the guys on NFL Network, ESPN, Mel Kiper, Todd, 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 all that stuff, that's coming. And so are our stories in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. So make sure you check all that out there. The Rays will wrap up their series against the Angels. Businessman special, 1:10, I think, p.m. first pitch. So get to the Trop if you want to see the Rays have a chance still. Like I said, would split this series, but at least a non-losing series. They could continue that streak. So
before they head to New York this weekend.
I know. Big weekend in New York against the Evil Empire. So that's going to be something to look forward to as well. And get your mailbag questions in again. You can do that. We'll have a mailbag on Friday. Send it to us on Twitter at NFL Stroud. It's at NFL Stroud or at Sports Day TB. You can also reach me by my email, rstroud@tampabay.com. Thanks for listening. As always, for Steve Burstnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.